I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Roger Grimes, Data-Driven Defense Evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing platform that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com. Roger, welcome back. It's so great to speak with you again.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks.
So, Roger, breaking news, an Australian broadcaster, Nine News, that's their name, they suffered a cyber attack yesterday, which was, for anyone listening, at a different date, Sunday, March 28th, and it forced a number of their live shows to go off of the air. And in addition to that, the country's federal parliament also reported an attack on its computer network. And reports are stating that ransomware is at play. I actually saw Stu at KnowBefore. He blogged about this story this morning. But what does this mean? This is the largest cyber attack on a media company in Australia's history. So do you know anything about these types of attacks and how they incorporate ransomware and why someone would want to do this?
Yeah, you know, just in general, I don't have a lot of details on the specific attack of that vendor, but ransomware is becoming pretty rampant. You know, it's becoming the primary way that, internet criminals are extorting companies and organizations and cities. I think that's what's so amazing just about ransomware. You know, it really took off with the invention of cryptocurrency so they could be paid more often. It's hundreds of millions of dollars being extorted. And it's not all, I mean, it's pretty wild when they take down a media company. Although I remember, I've been around this business 34 years. I can remember things like the I Love You worm and stuff like that back in the 1990s and 2000s, taking down some media firms, but not for so long, not as long and not as easily. And probably even more importantly, it's not just media companies, but, you know, large companies, small companies, hospitals, police stations, cities, entire cities. You know, there have been multiple cities in the United States and other places that have been taken down for days to sometimes weeks or months to fully recover. And you know, that's pretty amazing. And it's happening consistently. It's happening often. It's not slowing down. People are paying more money more often to the ransomware criminals. I mean, overall, even like last year, I was like, how could this get worse? You know, how they're taking over hospitals and cities and police stations and newspapers and media companies. You know, how can it get worse? And then at the end of 2019 and certainly 2020, 2021, well, they started exfiltrating data so that even if you had a good backup, you had to pay so that they wouldn't release your data on the internet or to hackers or whatever. So having a really good backup doesn't save you anymore. Something like over 70% of all ransomware now steals data before it then goes off and encrypts your file. So again, having that data backup is no longer the failsafe. And then, you know, so ransomware has just gotten worse this year.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. And something interesting about, I mean, we don't really know a lot about this yet in this particular instance in Australia. But something that's interesting, and I saw this in the KnowBefore blog post, is that the network's online news site claimed that ransomware was used, but no ransom has yet been demanded, indicating that state-backed players may be responsible. Of course, that's speculation right now, but what does that mean if there's ransomware used, but there's no ransom? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, that's happened at least a few times that I know of. It can be that sometimes it's because the ransomware gang got disrupted. Mm. You know, sometimes they're individual criminals and they get arrested for other reasons or previous crimes. I've heard of ransomware groups and criminals that attack the wrong group, like they attack the mob-owned company and then all of a sudden got fearful and quit, but leaving everybody in the lurch that they had, you know, pushed the ransomware out to. And certainly it could be, you know, nation states are using ransomware to do it. And sometimes it's, you know, not to get money. Sometimes it's embarrassment. Sometimes it's to cause operational issues. Sometimes there have been many nation state attacks. I don't want to say many. There have been nation state attacks where they didn't want the media company to cover a particular story. You know, the famous Sony Pictures attack where the nation state said, hey, we don't want you to release a film that embarrasses our leader. And if you do, we're going to, you know, shut you down, release your data and emails. And they did, and they followed through and caused a lot of problems. There's been newspaper companies just in the last year or two where a newspaper is writing a story that may reflect in a negative light upon that nation state. And the nation state retaliated by attacking either the company or even the owner and publisher. There's an instance of where they actually attacked a owner, American newspaper owner's personal cell phone. They texted him a picture of a woman he was having an affair with, I guess, but it contained a zero-day attack that took over his phone. They then exfiltrated other personal photos and emails and things like that, and then used it against them, you know, pretty much trying to send the, you know, the statement that, hey, we, if you hurt us, we're going to hurt you. So there does seem to be this continuing and increased incidence of nation states not only stealing money and using ransomware, but using it to shut down organizations, to cause embarrassment and shame. It's definitely kind of a new era in nation state attacks. It's no longer limited to, you know, military people and contractors supporting the military industrial complex. It's now, you know, media companies and infrastructures and, you know, cities and people. It's definitely, the game has increased. I don't know if I'm coining this as the first person, but calling it nation state 2.0. We're definitely seeing nation states become a big player this year. Like ransomware is pretty big. Nation states are becoming just super involved and more pervasive. You know, the SolarWinds attack, the Microsoft Exchange attack, they're becoming more brazen. It's more often hitting more companies. Other groups are then taking advantage of what the nation states are doing. We're in a new era of cybersecurity crime that's looking pretty bad so far.
Okay. So it sounds like when you mentioned other groups, so they're kind of like copycat criminals out there who see what's happening and they piggyback off of that.
Yeah, you know, like in the Microsoft Exchange case, I think, and again, we don't have all the details, but it appears that Microsoft and others noticed some nation state attacks that were exploiting these 3 or 4 zero days against Microsoft Exchange. And Microsoft worked to create a patch. And it was like 2 months between the time Microsoft had been alerted and when the patch finally got revealed. But I think what we heard is that Microsoft was going to release the patch on Patch Tuesday. But then all of a sudden it became clear that the patch itself had become common knowledge to regular criminals. So instead of it just being confined to nation state attackers that were possibly a little bit more limited, all of a sudden they had traditional larger ransomware groups using that unpatched hole to sneak in their ransomware programs. And all of a sudden, you know, you had hundreds of thousands of vulnerable organizations using Microsoft Exchange on premises. They're all of a sudden getting ransomware attacks through that hole. And so Microsoft had to do an out of band emergency patch, and they're still, you know, still fighting that fire. And that seems, it's not the first time this has happened. It's, you know, a couple of years ago, Edward Snowden kind of announced these different attacks that the United States nation state had, and they ended up being incorporated in other malware programs that attacked other people. So once these holes and zero days are discovered and disclosed, and these other groups pick them up, they use them more aggressively than the nation state group did, you know, but it really kind of took the work and the release of that exploit by the nation state group that then gets taken advantage of. You know, it's like you can't keep your secret long, right?
Mm. Yeah, right. And that's really fascinating. And I was thinking more about how you were talking about nation states and targeting media. And I was thinking about how we learned a few weeks ago, I think it was, that there was a lot of disinformation put into social media from other nation states surrounding the COVID vaccine and kind of fear mongering there. So why is that a thing? Why would other nation states want it to do that to us, to sway us with vaccinations and things of this nature?
You know, in the world of nation state, you know, it's Cold War, cyber warfare techniques. if your adversary is having internal strife, that it takes the attention of that adversary away. Plus, you know, nothing's better than if your adversary is accusing you of human rights abuses or not doing something correctly. If you can create a disinformation campaign that keeps their local media concentrating on them, well, they're not concentrating on you, the external adversary. And it's making them, you know, people saying, well, we're no better than that person or this or that. It's, you know, it certainly, again, is a, you know, that is a great point. And it's just a ramping up of, you know, of what the new stakes are there. You know, sadly, there's no Geneva Conventions for cyber warfare attacks. And so it kind of seems like whatever can be accomplished will be accomplished and it's fair game. And I wonder how bad does it have to be before we kind of get a digital Geneva Conventions talking about what it should be allowed and not allowed. Because this is, you know, cyber nation state cyber warfare attacks are even resulting in kinetic real world attacks and missiles and, you know, it's I think this is a dangerous time for us all of us, because there doesn't seem to be any rules of the game. And the things that are being done are just, you know, ratcheting up and seemingly getting worse.
Right. Right. And so what can folks do who are listening to try to stay safe, try to stay informed? You know, is there anything that they can be doing?
Well, yeah, I think, because of the change in nation states over the last couple of years, that I think every company that's threat modeling, what are the threats to my company? I think a lot of companies, you know, suppose you had nothing to do with the military or with the government, you would say, well, I'm not really a nation state target. I think every company now has to do as part of the threat modeling is that we're possibly going to be a nation state target. And that means taking computer cybersecurity much more seriously and realizing that you could either be a direct target of a nation state attack, or you could be an indirect target because of something the nation state did, and now other attackers are taking advantage of it. But I believe that it has increased the serious risk and consequences. Ransomware, nation state attacks are ramping up that, you know, we've always had to take it seriously, defense, but you know, early on 20 years ago, it was these script kiddies, right? People trying to prove that they could do it. And then it turned into like spam bots where they're just trying to push spam. And now it's very criminal. It's very, you know, ransomware is a criminal enterprise that's worth, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. And then you add in nation state threats, you know, it's not kids anymore. It's, you know, it's criminal gangs, it's professionals, it's nation states. And you have to take it, you know, you have to take the potential consequences a lot better. I mean, these days, I think as a company, your number one threat isn't somebody stealing your data, although that's part of it. It's they're going to shut your company down for weeks to months. Do you have the business, the disaster recovery and business continuity plans to handle your company's IT operations being down for weeks to months? That really, you know, it's if a virus gets through, if an exploit is there and gets exploited, the consequences are your company being offline for a week to many weeks. And so I think that what has changed is that everybody needs to take all threats more seriously. They have to take their defenses more seriously. They have to take their business continuity planning. What can you, if your company's IT systems are down for a week or weeks, can your company survive? How do they do billing? How do they get their product out? How do they contact customers? So I think every company needs to take the threat of ransomware and nation state attacks a lot more seriously, up the game in the defenses, making sure that they, you know, preventing social engineering attacks, doing better patching of unpatched software, and having a lot better monitoring, right? A lot of these attacks that people didn't know about, they'd been in these companies many times for weeks to many months. The average ransomware program is in a company somewhere between 8 to 12 months before it goes off. So there are opportunities for these attacks to be detected if people are doing the appropriate monitoring.
Excellent. Fascinating. Roger, as always, thank you so much for joining me today. This is really, really, really great.
Thank you so much, Hillary.
Absolutely. Looking forward to next time. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Roger Grimes, Data-Driven Defense Evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing platform that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about our sponsor, KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com. And you can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.